Hey friends, Graham here with my daily update and teaching video. All week long, I'll be speaking on the theme of by every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. More about that in a moment. I also have some teaching notes I'm going to try to produce every week now. So I have a PDF with all of the notes I'll be teaching on all week long. If you're interested, go to gjm.org/notes, link below. You get those on a free download. A few housekeeping things as normal. If you're on my YouTube channel, please consider hitting the subscribe button there. Give the bell symbol a long press. And check out, podcasts, social media, different things below. I also have a new course out called the Teaching and Preaching Course. It's a course for teachers and preachers, or people who feel maybe they have a call to teach and preach. And in this course, I really just lay out my journey, my process, if you will, that I take people through of how to teach and preach effectively. How to preach without notes is actually a very important skill. And I usually see people who over-prepare. It's interesting. Years ago, the Lord said to me, Graham, don't over-prepare sermons. Over-prepare your heart. And I see at times people with a under-prepared heart, but an over-prepared sermon, masses and masses of notes. And they're interacting more with the notes than they are the people listening and the Holy Spirit. So I speak about how do we can be a conduit between ourselves and the Holy Spirit as we deliver messages. So that is online. I believe it's $60, but we're offering it for $20 this week only. So link below if you are interested in that. And lastly, I'm in France today, but I'll be traveling back tomorrow. If anybody's in the Framingham area looking for a ride from Framingham to Sturbridge, and I will be in Sturbridge and in New England Fellowship this coming Sunday, looking forward to be back at home with Aggie the dog. So, good. Hey, well, let me jump into this again. So in Matthew 4:4, in Luke 4:4, also Deuteronomy 8:3, the Lord says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's interesting, but the Bible is the... let me back out of this. If I were to come to a Christian and say, who or what is the Word of God? It's interesting the responses I would get. People would probably say the Bible is the Word of God. Some people might say, I think Jesus is the Word of God, John 1 verse 1. And of course, they're both right. The Bible is the written Word of God. Jesus is the person, the personified Word of God. And there is a difference between the written word and the preceding word. It's like one is like the logos, the entirety, if you will, of God's word. The other is that now spoken word, a rhema word, we could call it. I call it a preceding word. When the Spirit of God, if you're taking notes, write this down. When the Spirit of God comes on the written word becomes the preceding word. And it's so important that we learn to recognize the preceding word, because we don't simply live by the Bible. We live by every preceding word. And I spoke yesterday, I began a series talking about this idea that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. God's word is fixed. God's word is established in heaven. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now, we need to move, again, I showed this yesterday, from this challenge of frankly thinking we need to change God, or that we need to talk God into something, or we need to get God in a good mood. Rather, we've got to change his mindset and realize, no, God has already spoken. God's word is settled. It's interesting, in Jeremiah 1 verse 12, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and he said, I watch over my word, waiting to perform it. Wow. That's like the Lord he's spoken centuries ago and he's still watching over that word. That word is fresh. That word will never lose its power. And he's watching over that word, waiting for a man or a woman or a child to dare to step out of the boat of their security and walk on the word of God. So our challenge is to move from changing God, frankly, to changing ourselves. Our challenge, if you will, is to get the word that is established in heaven, and let that be the word that is established in our heart. In a sense, we're called to bridge the gap between the word in heaven and the word in our hearts. Paul talks about this in Romans 10. Let me read Romans 10, verse 6. He said, "The righteousness which is of faith speaks in this way." What does the righteousness which is of faith say? "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down from above. Or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead." What does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart, which is the word of faith that we preach. For if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation." It's interesting. So Paul's saying here, don't say the righteousness. The righteous ones, the faith of God, doesn't say, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody could climb a ladder and go into heaven and bring Jesus down?" Or, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody could go back and, you know, as it were," he's not in the abyss, "but go down into the abyss and raise him up and bring him into our church meeting? Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus could come next Sunday and visit me in my church?" What Paul is saying here is the word of God in your heart and in your mouth is the same thing as having Jesus there present. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. You know, in 2 Peter 1, Peter talks about the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter literally says, "I was there on the mountain." Peter, James, John. He tells the story. He said he saw the glory of God. He heard the voice coming from that most excellent glory. And then Peter, describing this incredible supernatural experience, Peter says something amazing to these young Christians. He says, "But you have a more sure revelation, a more sure prophecy, a more sure word than standing on the Mount of Transfiguration." Well, what could be more sure than experience it? Wouldn't you love to get caught into the glory of God, see Jesus shining with glory, see the law and the prophets, the law of Moses, the prophet Elijah show up and point at Jesus? What could be cooler than that? Peter says this is a more sure word than anything we'll ever done. Now, again, our challenge is to get God's word established in our heart. It's already established in heaven. The challenge is to get the word established in our heart. Psalm 112 speaks really well about a man whose heart is established. Let me pick out a few verses there. Psalm 112 verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments or in his word. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house. His righteousness endures forever. For the upright, there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings." Why? His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desires come upon his enemies. God wants our heart to be established. He wants the word to be established within us. How do we establish the word in our heart? Really, it's what Paul said in Romans. It's interesting, Paul talks about with the mouth confession is made, with the heart. Let me go back to that. Where are we? He says in Romans 10 verse 9, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." And then he says, "With the heart one believes and with the mouth one confesses." Here's what I want you to see. It starts with the mouth. The journey from the head to the heart passes by the mind and the mouth. Let me say that again. The journey from the head to the heart passes by the mind and the mouth. And the way we get, it's interesting that Psalm said he will not be afraid of evil tidings. Come on, I'll end with this today, but do any of you know how to worry? How do you worry? It's really easy. You take a thought, something might happen. My flight might be cancelled. I've left the stove, you know, whatever. Just some, take some thought and you think about it. And whether verbally out loud or internally, you begin dialoguing, you begin thinking, you begin interacting with that. And if you'll keep doing it, it no longer becomes like an intellectual thought. It's interesting, thoughts have no mass. They have no weight. They have no bearing really on you. Thoughts come, go, thoughts do their thing. Thoughts are like empty in a way. But when they get into your heart, they have weight. They have power. You can feel them. Your emotions will get behind them. How do we get the Word of God into our hearts? Well, number one, I mean, obviously we need to hear it. We need to see it. We need to hear it. We need to speak it. Then we need to think about it. We need to engage. We need to confess. David said in Psalm 45 that my tongue, mouth, is the pen of the ready writer. He says, I'll confess, recite my verses concerning the King. And as we do that, as we engage our hearts and our mouths with the Word of God, they begin to get into our hearts. As we engage our mind and our mouth with the Word of God begins to settle in our hearts, that man shall live by every word. Guys, I hope that's been a help to you. Again, I'll be back together tomorrow sharing some more about this. And if you're interested in getting the notes, check out the link below, ggm.org/notes, and you can download those there. Have a great day.